Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who brings us great comfort. In the name of Jesus, amen. We Christians are always of two minds. We have our spiritual mind that focuses on and rejoices in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the life of the Spirit of God working within us to produce faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. That mind is focused on the kingdom of heaven. It has its mind set forward on the gift and promise of God. That mind is fed by the means of grace through which we receive the forgiveness of sins in the gospel. The spiritual mind that we possess is a blessed gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Apart from this gift, we are completely and spiritually dead, unable to comprehend anything related to God, Christ, the forgiveness of sins, or the eternal kingdom of heaven, or anything that pertains to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit has interceded through the means of grace, through the preaching of his word, through the waters of holy baptism, and we have been drawn into knowledge and understanding of our Savior and salvation. Thanks be to God that we have been brought from spiritual death to life by the Spirit of God. However, as we have been given and blessed with a spiritual mind, we also have a carnal mind, a mind that is rooted in our sinful flesh. And unlike the spiritual mind, the carnal mind does not comprehend the things of God and his love. Rather, our carnal minds are consumed with worry, with fear, with desire, with wanting. Our carnal minds look around at the world and they crave nothing other than comfort, security, pleasure. The carnal mind is focused on rewarding itself. It either seeks the immediate reward and quick pleasure, or it will delay that pleasure a little bit for greater gain, but the end goal is still the same. The carnal mind wants to please the sinner. The carnal mind wants to give the sinner worldly things so that the sinner can focus on worldly things and satisfy all of its worldly desires. Of course, our bodies need to be taken care of. We need to be fed, we need to be clothed, we need to be protected, we need to stay healthy, and we should not be reckless with our lives or the lives with others. Yet the carnal mind goes far beyond that. It goes to the point where our bodies and their needs, it becomes an obsession that produces worry and anxiety. What's going to happen to me? What will my life become? What will I lose if I lose what I have? What if this is all that I end up with? I need more. I want more. And then this, we become totally focused on providing ourselves with every bit of material comfort that we can get our hands on. And when we require one thing, get our hands on that one thing, we can't imagine how we ever lived without it. And then, of course, what do? We want more. We become obsessed with the next thing down the list that we want, we desire, that we crave. 10 years ago, very few people had smartphones. Now, no one can imagine living life without them. 20 years ago, the internet, or 25 years ago, the internet was beginning to take off, but now we can't find our way across town without asking Google for help. We have entered into a stage of human history where physical comfort and ease have become our chief priorities. They become easy pursuits that we can reward ourselves with quickly and move on to the next one. We want more, and we can get it. We gotta tap the screen, push the button, and there it is. And we're anxious about getting it as quickly as we can. And as a result, We worry about what might happen when we lose those little creature comforts that we grow so dependent on. We invest heavily in them, time, money, thought. And for what? So that our lives can be just that little bit more comfortable. When one of those things that we love is taken away, we despair. If you doubt this, watch what happens to a little child when you turn off the TV. They lose their minds. Or look at how much effort someone will expend to get the internet back up and running in their house if their router goes out. See how frustrated we all get if there's something as simple as a power outage. See how angry someone gets when their phone breaks. See how impatient people get when they have to wait for a seat at a restaurant. Look at how upset and anxious people are when they have to spend a few hours without their favorite creature comforts. Of course, it doesn't have to be electronics or technological creature comforts. It doesn't have to be those little luxury items that we love. It can be anything. My preferred pastime, my favorite food, the amount of time I spend working, the amount of time I spend playing, the amount of money in my checking account, how many toys I have in my garage. So much of our hearts are captivated by these things that we fear losing them. We want more of them. The carnal mind drives so much of our decision-making and action in this life, and it makes us hungry and never satisfied. It creates so much worry, so much anxiety. What will I do without those little things that make my life more convenient, more fun, more comfortable? You know, Paul addresses this today. As we read through Philippians chapter 4, he speaks about things that directly relate to life in this world as we deal with our carnal desires and all those desires that we have for the things around us. As Paul is speaking to Christians who also have the Holy Spirit of God in faith, he addresses things like anxiety, fear of loss, and bodily discomfort. Paul says that he has unlocked the secret to it all. He has found the answer to the carnal mind's insatiable pursuit of ease and pleasure. He says, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every and any circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty, abundance, hunger, and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we hear Paul share these words, we know that Paul is writing this from prison. And if anybody has cause to be anxious or to worry, it's Paul. He has no provision or certainty for his body and his life. The only thing that he can physically rely on are the gifts that have been sent to him from the congregation in Philippi. Those Philippians sent him a gift. And you know, in the ancient world, you were not given food and clothing when you were put into prison. If you were going to eat, if you were going to have clothing, if you were going to have blankets, if you were going to keep warm, somebody had to come and provide for you. You needed a benefactor to care for you who was outside of the prison that could send money or goods or food to your aid. And so the Philippians sent some sort of offering to ensure that Paul was cared for in his imprisonment. And so Paul writes this letter to give thanks to the Philippians, but he also tells them the source of his joy. He says, I rejoice in the Lord. Here we have Paul teaching it all. He's teaching us that he's not rejoiced in his circumstances, rather his joy is in the Lord. He expresses joy that the Philippians were able to show their love and care for him, but he also says that he is in want of nothing. He is in want of no good thing. He does not lack any good thing. Now think about that. The man is imprisoned. The man is possibly facing death. The maybe one thing that he might want. But this is what he writes. Can you imagine having nothing and being content? Yet this is exactly what Paul says here. He is content, and he knows how to be content in every situation. He's learned how to be content. I will say that again. He has learned. He learned it. He learned to be content. Now think about that. Think about how our carnal minds strive for the next great bit of comfort. It's almost out of pure instinct. We just grab what we can. Think about how worked up and anxious we all get when that comfort is stripped away. Now hear Paul say that he has learned how to be content. And sometimes I think we misplace contentment. We think about contentment and we envision being filled with those things that we want. We think about having all of our carnal desires satisfied. We think we are content when we have good circumstances in life. We think that we are content when we're comfortable. Yet Paul says it's something different, because by nature, our carnal minds are never content. We will always want more. Our sinful nature will never be happy with what it has. Think about it tomorrow. Just framing the idea, many people will gather around the table and eat until they are sick. And then they will eat some more. Then they will go, they'll stand outside of a store, and they'll wait for those Black Friday doorbusters so they can get a little bit more stuff. We are by nature discontent. We want, and we want, and we want. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us contentment. How has Paul learned this? What has given Paul contentment? What gives Paul his reason for rejoicing in all circumstances? Maybe the best way to frame the question is like this: how does Paul find joy in his suffering? And he tells us he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. He has found his contentment in the gospel of Jesus, because in the gospel of Jesus, he has the treasures of the kingdom of heaven placed firmly in his grasp. He has the forgiveness of sins in the death of Christ. He has the resurrection of his body and the resurrection of Jesus. He has been united to Christ in the waters of holy baptism. He's been made a child of God, and if a child of God, then an heir of the entire kingdom of heaven. And that means that all of the blessings that God can offer to a person in eternity are his. As sure and certain as the promises of God are, he has them. And that means that Paul's faith is set in the promises of Christ Jesus, and his hope is not rooted in the world, but placed firmly in heaven. And so Paul knows the secret, and he lets us know that it really is not much that of a secret. It has been repeated to us over and over again. Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was made man to die for the sins of the world. In him we have life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins. It is the good news that God has commanded to be preached to the very ends of the earth until the very end of time. And in this good news, we can be content in all circumstances. We can be filled to the brim with all that we could ever want in life. We can suffer poverty and a completely bare existence and still rejoice. And that is because we already have all that is needed. The carnal mind will want more and more and more. It will crave it. It will demand it. It will tell you that you cannot be happy unless you have it. Yet the Spirit of God has given us faith in something much greater than anything that our carnal minds can crave. We have the gospel of Jesus. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the word of God's absolution. And we have the heavenly banquet of Christ's body and blood. We have the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And that means that we're no longer bound to the incessant wanting of our carnal minds. All the things that our sinful hearts desire are things that are perishing in this world. Yet we have been given a hope that is imperishable, and because of that, we can endure all things. We can suffer, we can starve, we can undergo sadness and loss, we can endure disappointment in life, we can suffer physical hardships and illness, we can do this and endure any other sinful circumstance because we already have the most pressing need in creation met. We can rejoice in our hardships, we can rejoice in our sorrows, we can endure suffering and trials and true suffering, not just those little disappointments of bad internet connections and missed meals. No, Paul says elsewhere, he says, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those who dwell in the love of God have the joy of Christ. And that joy that we have in Christ cannot be stripped away by our temporary circumstances in life. In this side of heaven, they're all temporary. We certainly give thanks to God for our temporal blessings. We thank God that we've been blessed with what we need in this life. In his providence, we have more than we can ever ask for. Yet if all of that were stripped away in an instant, we could still rejoice. We can be content in knowing that we still have more than we could ever ask for from God. We have Christ. And even if our bodies suffer want and we're destroyed by calamity and terror, we have the gospel. And so we're blessed to live in God's means of grace. We have the forgiveness of sins poured out on us daily. The Spirit of God is at work in you, my dear friends of Christ. And that means we're not held captive by our carnal desires in this life. The scriptures say that we've been set free from them. And that means that we can properly receive all the material blessings in this life with good consciences and thanksgiving. Through daily contrition and repentance, our carnal existence is being put to death by the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus. And the life that we live right now, we live in Christ. And so all that we receive in Christ as Christ's own people. So we rejoice. We rejoice in knowing that our Father in heaven knows our needs and will care for us for the sake of his dear Son. And that we have, all that we have, is a gift from God that we unworthy sinners receive by merit of nothing other than the grace of Jesus. And so whatever we have, be it food, family, home, employment, friendship, and everything else, it is viewed rightly when we receive it with thanksgiving. We receive it in the spiritual knowledge of the gospel. You know, tonight we'll be closing our service with a very wonderful hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. It was written by a man named Martin Rinkart. Martin Rinkart was a pastor who served in a walled city of Eilenburg, Germany. And during the dark days of the 30 Years' War back in the 17th century, the town's population swelled as the conflict forced people to take refuge behind the city's grand walls. And as the population of the city swelled, as war swept through the countryside, famine and disease decimated the city of Eilenburg. In 1637, the plague swept through the town like the angel of death. The four pastors that were in that town all suddenly disappeared. Martin Rinkart being one of them, however, one abandoned the city. The other two, Pastor Rinkart, presided over their funerals. During the year of 1637, Rinkart conducted funerals for up to 50 people a day, including the funeral of his wife. In that one year, nearly 5,000 residents of that town died to disease and famine. Yet despite all of it, despite being surrounded by the stench of death and staring every day at the mere meager scraps of food on his plate, Pastor Rinkart was able to write these words: "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has led us on the way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Now, what could cause a verse like this to be sung in the midst of such sorrow and hardship? Certainly not the passing pleasures that the carnal mind desires. It's nothing other than the enduring gospel of Jesus. Songs of joy and thanksgiving flowed forth from the gift of the gospel, even in the most dire circumstances. The assurance of the kingdom of heaven brought joy through unimaginable terror and death, and that is because ours is a faith that transcends death. Ours is a faith that transcends our mortal bodies and mortal lives. Ours is a Savior who is a living Savior. We have the Lord who blesses us more than our sinful hearts could ever know to desire, because he gives us his Son. He gives us Jesus. And in Jesus, we can always find cause to rejoice. As St. Paul says at the very beginning of Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice." We rejoice in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.